141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the fallout continues from another incredible weekend across Scottish football. Martin O'Neill says Kasper Schmeichel is still unwell and heaps praise on Valjami Sinisalo ahead of the trip to Pittodrie. A big game in the Premiership tonight as Dundee United welcome St Mirren and Scotland women get their World Cup qualification campaign underway against Luxembourg. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Falkirk's Brian Graham and Gordon Dale.
Yeah, after excitement of the weekend, Gordon, we're looking forward to probably two big games in different ways. One tonight, Dundee United against a St Mirren team that are really, really struggling. They need points. Dundee United, they need points to try and close the gap on Brian's Falkirk, but I don't see them getting to the top six. I think that's cemented. And then a cracking game tomorrow at Pittodrie, Aberdeen play Celtic, and then all the build-up to the Scottish Cup at the weekend.
How many points you need now to secure that top six?
Hold on. Come on, John.
Last week you were keeping it close to your chest.
No, well, we knew we wanted 45 points. We're 3 points shy of where our target is at the moment. We get another great victory at the weekend and we just keep concentrating ourselves.
But you don't need 45 points. The reason being, Aberdean, Dundee United don't get 3 points.
We're not concentrating. That's your six points.
Do you think one of the best run, most methodical football clubs in the country needs your advice?
Yeah, because no, we don't. Because the watch, and I'm not saying who it is, said last week 6 points, right? The one at the weekend, 3 points. The other two teams didn't win. 6 points. Job done.
But we've still had our targets all season and 45 was the target, so we're still free shy of that.
On tonight's episode of Countdown, you have Graham and Gordon DL. But you came on, so where are we? You're still taking my word for it that you're closing in your 650th career appearance. Please get somebody else to count it. I don't want you responsible.
I can't remember how many you said I was away. Was it four or something like that?
I think you're three away now.
Three away now, so we'll see how it goes between now and the end of the season. 9 league games to go, hopefully I'll make it.
It's hard to get the headlines on a weekend when Rangers play Celtic and everything that happened and Hearts won the day before, but my goodness, you lot must be over the moon with just how good that was, that 5-1 win against Kilmarnock.
Yeah, we had a game plan, we executed it really extremely well, playing against their diamond in midfield. I thought we've got to give big Barney Stewart extremely praise tonight over these weekend's performance. In the first half he's scored a goal, he's won disallowed, he's had a header for a corner that's led to a goal. He's all round playing the first half. He was unplayable, the big guy. And where he's came from, university football, he was absolutely incredible.
It's amazing, isn't it? There's so many good stories this season, but we did say it before, 18 months ago, university football.
But it just shows you the manager. He's got an eye for a player. You've seen it with Kieran Adams.
You sure about that?
We know you've not got an eye for a player. You need your glasses on, Dazzler.
See, if I was him, I'd be telling everybody that he's been mentoring Barney Stewart. I think that's the
working with him.
We can get that message out there that he's benefiting from your experience. No,
listen, he's, I try and pass on words of wisdom now and again, but it's not to do with me. It's John McGlynn and his staff. They know the game a lot better than I do, and what they've done at Falkirk over the last couple of years is incredible. We're so close to cementing that top six what we wanted at the start of the season. I think if we'd have mentioned that out within the media, he's probably would have laughed at us, because a lot of people tipped us to be relegated, and we've came a long way. We've got a quarter final game to look forward to on Friday night, so we'll just concentrate on ourselves and forget about the Dazzler.
Absolutely. 01419511025. What are you thinking tonight? Let us know. It's only Tuesday after Sunday, so there's no chance we're fully over the weekend. Now that maybe the sort of intensity, the emotion has dropped out of it a bit, you can look at things in the clear light, the cold light of day, I should say. How are you feeling about it now? It was, everybody keeps saying it, you can't escape the cliche about the game of two halves and how it was good for Rangers and then bad for Rangers and vice versa for Celtic. So what do you take away from it now? And then for you Celtic fans, straight into another big game. Martin O'Neill saying this illness that Kasper Schmeichel's got, he's unwell again. And Valjami Sinisalo will continue in goal. He's been praising him. So give us your thoughts on the goalkeeping situation. I think bizarrely that was like the big pre-match talk, but I don't think we really discussed it afterwards because of everything else that happened there. So again, get the calls over to us on 01419511025. Rangers fans, it feels like you had a lot of complaints, a lot of questions after that second half drop off. So how are you feeling now? Again, same number, 01419511025. Big game tonight. If anyone is going to catch Brian Graham's Falkirk. They're going to need to make a move soon, and Dundee United would be chief among them. They're at home to St Mirren on what can only be described as, try to be polite about the pitch up there at the moment.
Yeah,
trying not to swear.
It's not the best, but you've got to put that aside, because especially for St Mirren, Gordon, they're sitting down there. This is their game in hand over Kilmarnock. There's 3 points between 10th and 11th. So it's massive for St Mirren. They need to get back to winning ways. But Dundee United, they're the same. They've had a poor run of form, and they'll want a good result tonight. Obviously going to Brian's Falkirk Friday night for the Scottish Cup, to an opportunity for one of them to get into the semi-final, be absolutely brilliant. Go back to Hampden. So that's an important game tonight for me.
It is indeed. If there's any St Mirren fans heading up there, why don't you give us your thoughts as well? Are you worried about the league position at the moment, and particularly if it doesn't go to plan tonight, what that could mean going forward? Scotland women get their World Cup qualification campaign underway against Luxembourg, so all the best to Melissa Andriata and the team there. And anything else at all that you think we've missed from the weekend? Maybe more Hearts fans? I think we've got scope for that, because last night, clearly, a lot of Celtic, a lot of Rangers, a lot of fallout from Ibrox. What about the Jambos winning again? It is a weekend that undeniably moves Hearts closer to winning that title, so it would be nice to hear more from you if you can. And like I say, anything else that you think we've missed from the weekend, or anything else that's cropped up today. It's 100 days until the World Cup as well, incidentally.
So it kicks off, is it?
Yeah.
It's a long time, isn't it? 100 days.
As much as the country's buzzing about the World Cup, there's too much happening in the Premier League right now.
I thought you were going to say too much happening in the world. I thought you were going to go geopolitical on us, my goodness.
No, not at all. I'm just thinking about this title running in Scottish Premiership. So everybody will be excited for the World Cup, but there's too much happening right now at home.
How are you going to handle the excitement if Motherwell win the league and then Scotland go to the World Cup a few weeks later?
Incredible. What end it there? End it completely, you mean? Is that what you're trying to say? You're trying to get your point over here?
I don't know if I'm allowed to condone that on the show.
It's still there for Motherwell. I know that they're a little bit behind, but if they go and win their game on Saturday against Dundee Dens, it's only 7 points, and there's still a lot of football to be played.
01419511025. That's the number you need. So please do get in touch right now that you, because I think, Gordon, we said it as well. Even when we're watching it and you're just working, we almost get caught up in the game a bit. We were all sitting waiting on that penalty. It was so dramatic. Now that, again, the dust has settled a bit, how do you look back on the weekend?
Well, you can recall I was out of breath at one point. It was like saying, I think it's the usual cliche in a game of two halves, Brian. You're looking at Rangers in the first half and you're thinking this could be embarrassing for Celtic.
Yeah, you couldn't see that happen in the second half. Celtic, well, coming back. Because Rangers were so dominant in the first half, you could only see it going one way. And as much stick as Hatate's got, and he's had a bit of stick on this show at times as well, he was a difference maker. He was absolutely brilliant coming on second half.
I think the both subs made such a difference tonight to coming on as well. Gave them that bit of width on the left-hand side that allowed Maeda to go through the middle. And as much as Maeda, to me, didn't have the greatest game again, but the one thing you know he's got to do, he's got to close defenders, he's got to close the goalkeeper a lot quicker than what Celtic were doing. So the press from the front became a lot better for Celtic. You're right, Hatate started getting on the ball. I thought the Rangers manager made a mistake with substitution, right? And it's only my opinion. I think that I understood bringing on Diamandé because obviously Celtic were getting a grip of the middle of the park in the second half. But I would have left two up top, and I'd have probably took Moore and just played them in behind the two up top and got their width for the fullbacks, because all of a sudden you seen...
Yeah, because Romans was causing all sorts of problems down the left-hand side.
You seen Chermitte at one point. He goes to close, I think it's Scales or Murray, and they just play by him, and he turns around and he puts his hands up if they say, where is him? Whereas in the first half, they were going direct, they were getting the ball up to the two front men, they were working hard, they were feeding off second balls, and they were obviously dominating the game. So, yeah, I thought it was an interesting game, but all credit to Celtic, second half, and they could have won it late on. So it was that exciting a game. We'll have to go through all again at the weekend.
It shows you the mentality of the Celtic players when the ball eventually does go in the net from the penalty. I think it's only Araujo, it runs to the supporters. They get the ball and they try and put it back in the halfway line. They think they can go and win the game. So that shows you the mentality of that squad.
Right, let's get stuck in on the phones. Robbie is first on. Robbie, what did the weekend tell us, teach us, suggest us? What did you take away from it?
Hi, good evening, Gordon. Thanks very much for taking my call. Before I go on to Celtic, I just want to make a point to Brian Graham about Falkirk. Brian, I think your team has done absolutely fantastic this season. I can't you're not getting as much game time, you're getting a bit older, but it's good to see you're playing your part, and just to let you get in, you're going to laugh at what I'm going to tell you. It looks like Falkirk are going to be the top six, and I'm absolutely dreading going to the Falkirk Stadium, because it looks like as if you're going to get used away. I'm pretty sure that we've played you twice at home in the league and once at the Falkirk Stadium. So it looks like that post-split fixture is probably going to be at your stadium, and I'm absolutely dreading it, mate. Just want to just tell you that, because it's going to be a very, very difficult game for us.
No, fingers crossed we do make it. And I don't think, whoever we play at home, I don't think anybody will really fancy coming there. I think we've shown over the course of the season that on our day we can beat anyone at home, so whatever comes, we'll be looking forward to it.
Game against Rangers early April, moved to the Sunday for TV today, I noticed.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Stadium. Going to be interesting, that's for sure. What about Sunday then, Robbie?
Gordon, I just want to... Aye, so anyway, Gordon DL, aye, we were one each, mate. You mind I came on about the team, and you say it's not Smike on goal. So I got Sinner Salah, I got that one right, but you got the Negan one right, because I went for my counter. I'm sure you're minded the call.
Yeah, well, I do, but I think maybe I've just nicked it if Schmeichel wasn't feeling well.
I'm not too sure.
No, Robbie. No, I think that'd be the case. So 2-0, mate, sorry.
I'll give you that one, mate. Just getting on to it, I can't miss out you tomorrow, Gordon. I've got to say the Celtic have got up there, put a strong performance on. It's going to be interesting to see who the team's going to be. But I just want to get on to next Sunday, Gordon. I don't know why. I'm no green tinty specs to say that every Celtic Rangers game, I'm feeling that Celtic are just going to say Celtic are going to win. But see, this Sunday, for some reason, the way that game went, Gordon, on Sunday there past, I'm really, really confident for this cup game. Now, I want to get your thoughts. Understand we're sort of jumping ahead of ourselves, because the more is going to happen, injuries and all that, and who's going to be fresh for Sunday. But, Gordon, how do you see that Celtic are going to line up on Sunday, obviously injuries aside, and how they're actually going to play the game? I've just got a good feeling that the way that game finished and the way the game went with Rangers being 2-0 up in the first half and Celtic coming back, I just feel the psychological edge is going into that game next Sunday is going to be with Celtic, Gordon. I just wonder, again, we've got tomorrow's game to go, but how do you think that Celtic will probably line up for that game? Do you think Hatate will come back in? How do you see the striker situation? Is he going to bring back in that Shivanchara? How do you see this game, sort of, kind of your general feelings at Gordon?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think tomorrow night will play a big part. Depends who performs. Hatate, obviously, he's come in for a bit of criticism because he's foreign this season, and rightly so, because he sets such a high bar. He's a fantastic footballer. But he looked back to his old self when he came on at half-time at Ibrox. So I would be surprised if he wasn't in the starting 11 come Sunday. Martin O'Neill will look at that. He'll look at the way that Rangers probably dominated the first half. He'll look at what caused that. I expect Rangers to go the same again. I think they'll go with the physical presence. They'll probably go with the two up top, because in the first half they were so dominant against Celtic. But I think Celtic will try and play their football. When Celtic try and go long, and Rangers forced them the first half to go long quite often, they were just eating up at the back. Celtic couldn't get out, they couldn't hold the ball up. In the second half, McGregor, Hatate started getting on the ball, started playing the football we know they can't play, getting out to the wide areas, and all of a sudden causing Rangers problems. The centre-forward position's a big one for me, but I think he will go probably with Maeda again because of the reason I've said. I think he puts the fear of death when he's at his game. He puts the fear of death in his centre halves and goalkeepers, because they know that the minute they play that ball, he's onto them. He's closing them down very, very quickly. So I think he might go with that. But personnel wise, he'll certainly change one or two. Trusty will be back, Gordon. That's right, isn't it? Is he?
He's for the cup game.
So obviously, and I thought the boy Murray, he did have a mistake, obviously, for Rangers' second goal. But I've got to say, second half,
he was brilliant.
I thought he played really, really well. Give him his due there. He stood up to it because he must have been a bit nervous because he knows he's made the mistake for a second goal. But I think he'll bring.
He probably should do better with the header as well. He needs to get that on target.
See, I get what Robbie's coming from, but how can you look beyond tomorrow? I appreciate I'm offering a really extreme example here, but full time tomorrow, Aberdeen 3, Celtic 0. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but Celtic's psychological edge might feel a wee bit different all of a sudden. And again, how do you pick the team for Sunday without knowing how tomorrow goes, who gets picked tomorrow, who does well tomorrow, all that sort of stuff? So I know why all eyes get drawn, the hype around that fixture.
It's easy to get carried away, Gordon. You don't know who, somebody could get injured after 5 minutes tomorrow night.
Kasper Schmeichel might not be feeling unwell anymore.
Yeah, you never know. But to be fair to Sinisalo, Chermiti scored two fantastic goals. Apart from that, he's not really made any mistakes in the game. He actually had a good game.
Is it his jersey to lose now, Brian?
I think so. I don't think he did anything wrong in the game at the weekend. And as I just said there, Chermiti's two goals were right out the top drawer. Everything else, he's kicking, he's ball handling, playing out for the back, distribution was very good. So it's his to lose. Sometimes as a goalkeeper, you need to benefit. If Kasper Schmeichel is no well and the boy gets his chance, it does well. For a goalkeeper, you stay in.
What do you make of the goalkeeping situation, Robbie? Is that going to be it? Sinisalo, no looking back? Or
Gordon, just on the goalkeeping situation, since we're actually talking about Sunday past there, here's a wee stat for you. Celtic went long 18 times, right? 18 times. 17 of them were in the first half, and the only one of them for the second ball off the long balls, the 17 of them in the first half. So it just shows you. I know Celtic made the changes with Hatate and they started to play their football, but there was a reason for that. I mean, think of that, 18 in the full game and 17, it went long, Sinisalo in the first half, and Celtic only won one of them. But just to get on to the goalkeeping situation, I think it's best sticking with the younger guy. I understand people are saying experience, but I mean, at the end of the day, the experience doesn't really keep the ball at the net if you're not performing. And I really like how Sinisalo, he's a lot younger. I mean, early 20s anyway. So I think Kasper Schmeichel's coming to the end of his sell-by day. I think he'll be away at the end of the season. And if Martin O'Neill keeps Sinisalo in for tomorrow, whether it's true, I don't know, but this, he was our, that could be a wee cover-up. There could be a fault between them, and Martin O'Neill's went to tell him that Sinisalo's in. There could be, I mean, we'll take Martin O'Neill at face value and say that probably, I mean, who's to say he's no been ill, Schmeichel, but I would keep Sinisalo in, keep his confidence up. I think he should have came in earlier. I was quite surprised. I think there was a few pundits, Gordon Dale included, who says that,
well, against Hibs.
I think if he was going to play against Rangers, he would have played against Hibs. I just couldn't see the thing about that, because at the end of the day, it's Stuttgart, Schmeichel could have played, and then I couldn't see the logic in that, because if he was going to play Schmeichel on Sunday, then I think he would have played him against Stuttgart. But the other folk were saying, as I say, Gordon Dale says, if he was going to play Stuttgart against Rangers, he would have played against
Robbie. Just quickly, Sive has a bad game tomorrow night at Pittodrie. Would you be looking to change your mind?
You know what, let's hear from Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill on the goalkeeping situation, because he has updated it today.
Casper's still not feeling great, so I'll leave him to recover properly. He's done really well in the two games that he's come in. He came in the match in the European game against Stuttgart, made a couple of really good saves, did very well. So he will start tomorrow night in the game. But I've been pleased with him. I thought he did fine at Rangers, really fine. And the goals that he conceded certainly weren't his fault. I've been very pleased with him. And it's an opportunity, not that it's worked out that way, or it's not the way that you'd want it to do, but it's an opportunity to see him, because I think he wants to be the number one goalkeeper here in the foreseeable future.
What do you make of that, Celtic fans? Give us a call right now. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon DL are here. We're still reflecting on the weekend, as you would expect, looking ahead to tomorrow as well. Though at the same time, for Celtic in particular, not much turnaround. We heard just before the break about Martin O'Neill saying Kasper Schmeichel's still unwell, so Sinisalo will continue in goal. Jamie's a Celtic fan. What's your reading of the goalkeeping situation, Jamie?
I think, to be fair, I quite like the fact that we're using Sinisalo. I was on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about it. But it could also play into your Neil's hands here if you go to Pataudry and Sinisalo has a howler, and then it kind of gives O'Neill the getaway jail card, if you like, to then use Schmeichel for the cup game on Sunday.
It's going to be interesting. Let's address the elephant in the room, just because we're the most cynical people in the footballing world, right? And a lot of people wouldn't dare call Martin O'Neill a liar, but would just wonder how ill Kasper Schmeichel is. Let's just say that. And I know it's wrong to speculate, but you've all seen the social media stuff. People were sending me it last night. Oh, look, there's a picture. And Kasper Schmeichel's strip was hanging up at Ibrox in the dressing room. What does that mean? When did they become ill? Oh, look, it might be nonsense. The guy might have the man flu. It might still be keeping him out from the weekend to now.
If he gets ill during the night, though, the kit man's already packed the kit the day before.
Right, there you go. So you're debunking that.
Yeah, because you just don't. Listen, that's what happens. If the kit man gets everything ready the day before the game, everything will go in the van for an away game. If he's messaged the manager or the sports science or the doctor in the morning of the game, no disrespect, but I'm not going to pass it up to the kit man. The kit man will just put the strips out as normal.
There you go. Brian Graham says it's a lot of rubbish.
So the kit man's left in the dark?
At that stage, yes, because the game's a 12 o'clock kickoff, and if he's been up, maybe it's a 6 o'clock in the morning, the strips are going out regardless. Because sometimes they put 22 strips out because you carry 22 in a squad. Two don't get stripped anyway. Their strips still go up.
There you go.
Well,
that's what we're here for.
Yeah,
it's one of the great conspiracies of our time.
Well, listen, we don't know. We just know what's here now. And Sinisalo plays tomorrow night at Pataudry.
This is what I'm saying. I suppose to fast forward, is Sinisalo playing because Kasper Schmeichel's ill, or is he now going to stay in when Kasper Schmeichel is no longer ill?
Well, I think in his last two appearances, he's done nothing wrong to come back out. You've got to say that. I thought over in Germany I had a good game.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. If you've got a true number one that you believe in, even if the backup Brian Graham's Falkirk, Scott Bain missed one of the games, your number two came in, played pretty well, Scott Bain came straight back in.
He kept a clean sheet as well.
Yeah.
And Scott Bain came back in.
But
you know
your number
I mean?
One goalkeeper at Celtic wasn't playing particularly well.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's a difficult one because, as for Martin O'Neill, I think he'll look at the game tomorrow night. If Sinisalo comes through that and Celtic go up there, get a clean sheet, even if Schmeichel is feeling a lot better at the weekend, I think Sinisalo will keep his jersey.
And you happy enough with that, Jimmy? That's so you're not too sure?
No, that's what I was kind of getting touched on.
Right.
If he does get his chance, again, this is just my opinion. It's his to lose, which that means he effectively gets thrown out at the end of the season.
Because I think if, say for instance, right, I think we'll all agree the last couple of games he's done well, right? Okay, clean sheet, Germany, lost two, none of his fault at the weekend. If he goes to Aberdeen tomorrow night, gets a clean sheet, then getting into Sunday, Martin O'Neill plays Schmeichel, and Schmeichel has a sort of a howler. The manager comes in for a lot of criticism of changing it. So it's not like Schmeichel he's been in brilliant form and unfortunately he's picked up this little bug illness, whatever it may be, and then you put him right back in because he deserves to get right back in. I don't think any Celtic fan would be upset if Sinisalo goes to Pataudry tomorrow, does well, clean sheet, that he start. In fact, I think they would be saying he's got to start.
Well, the Celtic fans weren't happy we went to the home game against Stuttgart, and it's all kind of been on then since then. Sinisalo then goes in, plays at Ibrox, does well. Not, as we've already mentioned, it's not his fault with the two goals. He's now going to play at Pataudry tomorrow night. If he keeps a clean sheet, then he's a certainty to play on Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Is that the life of a goalkeeper? What the position can be like? This is going to sound unfair on Sinisalo when I ask this, but did he do well at the weekend or did he just not do? Because he didn't actually have much to do apart from, do you know what I mean?
To be fair, as much as Rangers were so dominant in the first half, they scored two fantastic
goals.
That's
my point.
He
couldn't save them. So there's no criticism attached and he doesn't then have any other saves. So sometimes you can actually just go in to a game.
Go under the radar.
Go under the radar and then you keep you keep your place as a result of that.
Yeah, if you as I keep saying, tomorrow night will tell. If he gets a clean sheet and you look, right, that's three games, two clean sheets, and he lost two goals, two terrific goals, well, especially the first one against Rangers at Ibrox. I'm totally with Brian. I think he's a stick on to play in the Scottish Cup game.
Jamie, what else are you thinking about tomorrow? It is a quick turnaround, and I suppose all that feel-good factor that you get from a last win at equaliser doesn't really carry on if you don't go and do the business tomorrow.
No, you're quite right. I think we'll smash Aberdeen about 3 or 4 nothing. But the other question mark would be the centre back, where you put Dane Murray, or you go with Benjamin Arthur.
I think Dane Murray. Excuse me. Listen, he made a mistake, very well documented at the weekend. But after that, his recovery for such a young boy in such a high stakes game, I thought he was excellent after that. If his head went down and then he made another mistake, then fair enough, then the questions may have been asked, but I felt he carried himself extremely well after that.
Could he also, in a bit of fairness to him, Gordon, try and get, even if it's this mini run, now we're talking about Trusty being free to play in the game at the weekend, but Dane Murray hasn't actually had to start many games for Celtic this season, except from Tynecastle away and Ibrox away. It's not ideal, you know, that you need them and you need to pitch them in to two of your biggest games of the season.
Yeah, and as much as Aberdeen are in great form, Petardie's not a good one either away from home. I totally agree. I think tomorrow night, Martin O'Neill have looked at the response for him, because he could have folded in that game. That game can swallow you up, there's no doubt, especially if you've made a mistake and you see your team going 2-0 down, you're thinking, oh, this could be a long, long road back. But I totally agree. I thought second half, he went out there, he dug deep, he done everything that was asked of him. So I would expect Murray to play tomorrow night with Scales.
Okay, thank you very much to Jamie. What about Stephen on the subject of the goalkeeper? Stephen, Kasper Schmeichel still ill, according to Martin O'Neill.
Aye, well, I hope he was ill. I was wishing he was hoping he was ill 2 months ago, because he's done, he's finished.
Seems a bit harsh to wish ill health on somebody, but I know what you mean. So what, you think he's...
No, this is too long in coming. You know what I mean?
I know.
But I think it's time his dad phoned him and says, right, Casper, you're done.
I don't think he's going to do that. He's got a World Cup to look forward to, potentially.
Yeah.
I'll get bad news for you, Casper.
You know what I mean? Don't embarrass the family.
Time
you hang up the gloves.
A lesson in tough parenting from Stephen and the Spring Boy. I thought the accusation was always that parents think the sun shines out there.
My boy tried to paint and decorate and made an absolute
mess of it
himself and used my name. Nah, but
have you taken the van off him?
But when you say using his dad's name, he's not got much choice in the matter. Right, are you a painter and decorator, Stephen?
Yes.
No, I was just checking.
Is your boy?
No, but
he was too scared to pick up a brush.
In case he disgraced the family.
Yesterday, he asked him to help, and I'm using crutches now because I can't walk. I'm using walking sticks. And he's asking me to come down to help him.
What domestic dispute have we just wandered into? He also turned it serious there. Poor Stephen can't walk anymore and we're chucking away. Okay, let's try and cut through the whatever that was. Stephen and other Celtic fans, whilst might not quite feel that he's disgracing the family name, feel that maybe this was a long time coming, because Brian referenced the Stuttgart game. But we've done it loads this season. Mm-hmm. Mikey Moore's goal in the previous Old Firm game. My goodness, you can go back to the cup final.
Even down at Rugby Park with Schmeichel as well. Look, I you can't take away that Schmeichel has had a brilliant career and he's a top-class goalkeeper. Let's not be kidded here. But like everybody else, it doesn't matter the position, goalkeeper or who your father is or outfield player. There's times you just go through a bad run. You lose a little bit of confidence. There's a lot of talk about he's got a problem with his left shoulder.
Do you think that's been over-exaggerated? Have people heard a little bit about this thing? Because Mikey Moore's goal went to his right-hand side. When he flapped at that cross in the cup final, that was to his right-hand side. Is there any... The one in Stuttgart, the one against Stuttgart, he dived to his right and tried to tip it away. What is there to suggest that it's all... the other side that's the issue. That's three high profile mistakes.
I'm just saying,
it wasn't so much an argument against you, just the theory, because you hear it a lot.
Yeah, you do hear it. But I whether he has or not, I just look at his form, and lately his form hasn't been the greatest for the quality of a goalkeeper he is. And if you're a backup goalkeeper and you've been brought in there, you're an international goalkeeper, you've been signed for what, just over £1 million, you've sat there patiently working hard and training every day to try and wait for your turn, and then he gets that opportunity, then you've got to grasp it. That's Martin O'Neill will know that, so will Schmeichel. He's been in the game a long, long time. So I do agree that I said that before the Hibs game, I thought that Martin O'Neill may have made the change in goals. But he decided to stick with his experience, decided to stick with Schmeichel, gave out good reasons for it, saying, look, my first time here, and even now he's come up with big saves for me. I'm sticking by him. But I just think it's Sinner Salo's to lose now.
Okay, thank you to Stephen, the painter and decorator with the walking sticks from Spring Boy Gone. We covered a lot of ground there. Seriously, I hope Stephen's son's not listening. Just imagine Big Peter making that call. Casper's son.
I sit down and get something to tell you.
Get those gloves in the bin. Anyway, right, let's try and compose ourselves. Go back to the phones again on 01419511025. Jay is there waiting. Hi, Jay.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Aye, not too bad, not too bad. Don't compose yourself too much. I've got a theory.
Oh, great. There we go. Bring it on.
Right, I think, see Sunday's game that's passed here, I think that was a lot bigger than what people realise. I think what Celtic done in that second half is going to be the catalyst for us to win the league. So much so that I think Rangers have handed Celtic the league. Even though we never won the game, it's the way that we came back in the second half and done what we need to do. I think tomorrow we're going to go and win 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 into second, and there's no going back. That start into the business end of the season, which Celtic are used to. I think the experience is going to kick in, and then it's just full steam ahead. Hearts will drop points, we'll capitalise on it, and the league's ours. Simple as that.
I'm glad you eventually found time to mention the league leaders who are 6 points clear, because I wondered.
Yeah. I'm sure we had this theory a few weeks ago as well, when after the Camarnock game.
But then
they lose to Hibs as well.
See, if it was between Celtic and Rangers only, I could get that, because it kind of felt like a sort of victory. Well, it's not a victory, but you know what I mean. It always feels better when you come back from 2-0 down, you're away from home. You would feel better about yourselves from a Celtic perspective than a Rangers perspective at the weekend. But it was still a weekend that just really benefited Hearts. So why was the weekend? You could say maybe the weekend's proof that Celtic finish above Rangers, but why are you willing to go so far to say that the weekend proved that they win the league?
Because, see, this is the first time in probably about 6 months that, as a Celtic fan, I felt confident. What I'm liking, actually, see Martin O'Neill, he does the half-time changes. See Brendan Rodgers used to do 70 minutes, 75. It's way too late in the game. They realised something wasn't right, obviously. Come in at half-time, make the changes quickly. Gives you enough time to get your foot in the game. Now, yeah, Celtic's got an issue with finishing games in the first half. That's just the way the season's been. But I think sometimes going to your arch enemy's ground, getting hammered, and then coming back up, that's just what the catalysts need. And Martin O'Neill, obviously, like I say, he's a good man manager. He'll go and instill that into the players' brains. Listen, this is what it's all about. This is what you do. You can do it. And it's just going to go on from there. Now, like you say, Hearts are 6 points ahead, 100%. It's theirs to lose. It's no Celtics to win. It's theirs to lose. We've just got to win every single game and have that confidence to keep going ahead and keep going ahead, kind of thing. And I think I'm going to say as well is, I think this Sunday coming, we're going to beat Rangers as well. The fears in Rangers, we're going to go there and take that. No hassle whatsoever.
Jay, I don't think there's any chance in this world that Celtic are going to win every league game. Let me say that. There could be a scenario if Celtic don't get a result at Pittodrie tomorrow night. By the weekend, before they play Rangers in the Scottish Cup, they could be fourth in the league. Look, you're a Celtic fan, you believe in your team, you're talking about Martin O'Neill, yeah, he makes changes, he sees it before Brendan Rodgers. But every time he makes changes, it's to go and chase a game because the game's away from them. You look at Kilmarnock, it looked like the game was away from them down there. He made three changes. You look at Ibrox at the weekend, it looked like the game was away from them there because they were Rangers were well in top and should have probably maybe buried Celtic in the first half and didn't give them the opportunity to come back. But all credit to them. Martin O'Neill makes the changes. The amount of late goals that you have scored as well. I know what you're saying. I do think Celtic have get quality players, but I'm not feeling the same confidence as you just now be thinking, right, we're going to go to Ibrox because of what happened in the second half. Got to take into consideration what happened in the first, and we're going to beat Rangers in the Scottish Cup, and we're going to win every league game and the league's yours. I don't think that's going to happen, do you?
I don't say that we're going to win every league game, but we've got to capitalise on, I'll say, Hearts not doing their job. Now, they have been doing their job 100%, but it's a pressure end of the season. It's like the business end of the season. That's where
they've been in the top of the league for over 20 odd weeks. Everybody says,
I think we're up, when, to, no pressure, think we're up to 22.
No 22.
Now, you, get that, that, you can't say there's no pressure. How can you stay 22 weeks as pressure, Jay? It's not. It's not September anymore. We're in March.
In the next 10 weeks, the next 9 games, that's pressure. Every single game.
Jay, they went to Ibrox. They went to Ibrox and lost. They went to Ibrox and lost. To which everybody said that would be the start of it. Since then, they've picked up 6 points. Celtic have picked up 1. Rangers have picked up 2. They've responded really well to that.
They've now got a weekend off where they can recover, get some injured players back for the next time they're playing. So, I don't think
I'll call you in a week today. Once we beat Aberdeen, once we beat Rangers,
the way, listen, I don't know if Hearts are going to win the league either, but I think to sort of diminish what they've done already is the wrong way of looking at it. Jay might be right in his prediction in the end, but I think he's working wrong.
I think that if Celtic don't beat Aberdeen tomorrow night, then they ain't catching Hearts, not in a million years.
Okay, thank you very much to Jay on the line. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. Clyde One. On Friday, we have life-changing cash to be won. Our most recent winner, Peter, took home £500,000, and we've upped the ante again to £550,000, ready to be won. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules for this network competition. You can call 03434 269340 as well, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and the lines close 5 p.m. Friday. So good luck. It's £550,000. Spend it wisely if you win it. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here alongside Brian Graham on the show tonight, waiting for you to get in touch. Last caller had very little fear that Hearts would hang on, so it seems like a nice time to introduce Matthew, who is a Hearts fan, on the line. How are you, Matthew?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You'll need to stick up for your team after that last call.
Aye. I wanted to phone up about basically the... It's not from fans, but it's the sort of negative connotations we keep getting from some people in the press about how Hearts are going to struggle to hold on, they're going to struggle to keep top spot, and like basically reasons why they won't win the league, and always positive reasons why Rangers and Celtic will win the league. So, not from everybody, you yourself have been very positive, and there's been a few, but I saw today, for example, Chris Sutton's come out, and he said one of the reasons why Hearts won't win the league is because of Derek McInnes. Which is absolutely ludicrous, to be quite honest. I think it was after the wee scuffle at the end of the Aberdeen game. But no, ultimately, I get why fans of other clubs, you know, Rangers fans phoned up after the game at Ibrox and they said, that's Hearts done, that's them out, Rangers are power up, win the league. And what happens the next two games, they draw two, Hearts win two. And ultimately, you look at it from a sort of facts point of view, been top since, I think since the end of September, so we're talking almost 6 months now. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think we went top against Livingston when Kazarida scored that last minute winner.
Yeah, I think it's 22 weeks now, I'm sure it is.
22 weeks,
I think
it is, yeah. So a pretty substantial period. Now, obviously, any one of the four teams, I include Motherwell in this, Motherwell definitely in the race. I know you'll be delighted with that, but they absolutely are. That Motherwell game at Tynecastle, I'm genuinely, I know Motherwell haven't beat Hearts, but Hearts have not beat Motherwell either, and it's, that game scares me a little bit, to be quite honest. But before that, there's still a lot of football to be played, and I think in terms of when you look at the stats, when you look at the breakdown, Hearts have been top for that long. They're the top scorers. They've got the best home record, the best away record. They've got the most points after from losing positions. They've got the most set piece goals. I mean, whatever metric you look at it, they're in the top spot, apart from maybe a handful. Motherwell have got the best defence in the world, probably at the moment. to be fair to them, so. But no, I think if you look at it, you know, any one of the four teams could win the league. I like I'm saying, I include Motherwell, but I think it's more. I listen to comments from, you know, people paid in the media, and it's always reasons why Hearts won't win it, not why why they will win it. And they sort of hear about the.
Do you think that's history that does that, Matthew? Do you think that's what that is?
I maybe. I mean, I think the history thing always. I've got a view on that. I think you heard Craig Halkett talking about this, and I think a few weeks ago, and he said that he was asked about how you're dealing with the pressure, and he was like, "We love it. We love it. This is not a bad pressure. This is a good pressure. It's not like when you're at the bottom of the league and you're fighting to keep people in their jobs. This is a good pressure. The players seem to thrive on it. I mean, you look at the big games. Played 6 matches with the Old Firm, won 4. Drawn 1, lost 1, and the draw against Celtic, Hearts should have won as well. So I think it's the whole experience thing. Hearts don't have, they've only got one player in their team that's won the league, Craig Gordon. He won multiple titles with Celtic. That's the same as Rangers. Rangers have got one player in their team that's won the league, James Tavernier. But it's always, that's what I'm saying, that gets peddled out a lot, like especially by Rangers fans. Like, Hearts will fall away. Rangers don't have experience in their team while they're in the league either. They spent a lot of money, but of course money doesn't equate to success every time. But Celtic are the only team that have got genuine experience, you know, recent experience about winning the league. But then you've got to ask yourself this as well. How many times have Celtic been actually challenged over the last 15 years? A sustained challenge. They've usually won the league by March. You know, so how are they gonna cope when they've got a sustained challenge from 2, 3, 4 teams?
I do, to be fair, I think we are a bit selective with that. I think there have been a few times over the last few years where Rangers have got close and the excitement came, and then Celtic, you know, pulled away again or whatever. And,
aye.
But certainly they haven't had to come from third at this stage. I was just looking at the kind of graph just because Matthew sparked it in my mind there. So Hearts were second in the first game week of the season. They went up to first. They spent 3 weeks at second, and then that's it. They've been first ever since. So in game week 6 of the SPFL season, they went top. They've stayed top. So yes, Gort, this notion about pressure, I'm sure it does intensify the closer that you get. But we just keep people, Matthew's right up to a point, people do just keep saying it. Like, when they're going to fall away? Because guess what, they've got a 6-point advantage. So it can't be until game week whatever, you know, we'll be approaching game week 30 and they'll probably still be top, and then people will be, ah, they'll fall away. You're running out of time.
Yeah, I think the pressure in the top three, there's no doubt. I think for different reasons. I think that Matthew makes good points about Celtic. Celtic are used to winning the league. Rangers are desperate to win it again.
But would you make a Matthew's query there of, like, does Celtic's experience of winning the league
right now, no.
Does it help? Of course, listen, of course it helps, but how much does it help when you're having it come from third sort of leading from the front?
They have got guys that know how to get the job done, let's not be kiddied, but it's now a 4-horse race, right? I still think Motherwell probably win their game at hand at the weekend. They'll close that gap a little bit to 7. That's still a lot of football to play. But I'm looking at Hearts right now, and I'm starting to be one of these guys that we're sitting about a month or 2 months ago thinking, right, they'll get a defeat, they'll fall away, Rangers and Celtic will start putting pressure on them, it'll affect Hearts. But right now, if I had my last coin, I'd be sticking on Hearts to win the league.
And has that changed since the weekend there? Because you've flipped a bit.
No, I stuck with Celtic from day one, right? But I'm looking at Celtic and Rangers, and they're just, I thought the game was good in at the weekend, because I think that Celtic and Rangers are ordinary teams, right? I don't think they're a I don't look at Rangers and Celtic You looked at these teams years ago and thought they could go from now to the end of the season, one of them, without losing a game. It ain't going to happen with Rangers or Celtic because they've not got the team, they've not got the squad, and they've not got the ability. And that's why I think Hearts.
But that's where you've got to give the other teams credit because they've got better. We can't keep focusing on Celtic and Rangers because they're always there. Hearts have been at the top of the table for a number of weeks now. And the caller Matthew speaks about pressure, but what about the pressure for the crowd and the anxiety when they're not winning, needing that extra goal to go and get them over the line? There's going to be pressure for the crowd onto the players as well. There's so much to happen.
I was there at the weekend. It was 1-0, but it was quite a comfortable 1-0, and it never felt that anxious. I think there was the odd sort of, you know, moment, but it never felt that.
Gordon, the last four league games, right? Rangers have picked up 6 points, Celtic 7, Hearts 9, and Motherwell 10. Where's the confidence telling you that Celtic and Rangers got to win that league? So I don't think that Rangers or Celtic win the league. I think it's there for Hearts to go now because they've got some good fixtures coming up before the split. I think the split's got to be so important because you're right, we had a Celtic fan on saying, well, no, looking forward to going to Falkirk Stadium. I don't think anybody's looking forward to that. Motherwell as well. Hibs are improving. Rangers and Celtic play each other as well as Hearts. So there's a lot of points to win and be dropped. But I just think Hearts are right in this driving seat, obviously, with the 6 points. They're getting players back, big players for them. I think they're in a great position.
Thank you very much to Matthew. The big question, though, is how many points will be dropped during this?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Very, very hard to catch Roger Hanna last night. He went for the 10 for the umpteenth time in the season, didn't get the 10 because he didn't know that Ollie Murs once appeared at half time at a Celtic game. Did you? Neither did I.
No.
There we go. It's much easier on a Tuesday night, trust me. No offence to these two. 01419511025. And the line's close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Falkirk's Brian Graham and Gordon Diel are here on 01419511025. Get the calls in. Still lots of leftover thoughts from the weekend because it was so big. It couldn't be any other way. We've had a lot of confidence there from a Celtic fan, responded to by a Hearts fan. I'm now looking at you Rangers fans because you would have been the angriest, the most frustrated, the most annoyed, whatever word you want at full time because of the way the game went. It was a point apiece, but given you had home advantage and you started so well and then it all went wrong in the second half, I wonder how you're feeling now, a couple of days on, emotion dropped out of it a bit and looking forward to what lies ahead, because Celtic need to go again midweek. That's their game in hand though, so that again could be a big indicator of the way things are heading, and you resume in the cup this weekend at home to Celtic again. So Rangers fans would like to hear from you. Scotland women getting their World Cup qualification campaign underway this evening as well. There's a big game at Tannadice, a new signing for Dundee United as well. Well, it's an old face, Johnny Russell, back at the club. They take on St Mirren tonight, and there's even big games in the Championship. So let's play this in the meantime.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, you had a narrow 2-1 win last time you played, Gordon Diel.
Yeah,
you're like Hearts, just
I'm digging in,
trying to get the job done.
Yeah, feeling the pressure end of season, but I'm getting the points.
So like Hearts, you think the pressure goes up and up?
Oh yeah, every week. Good. But as long as you still win,
Do me a favour. See, I'm about to say something. You're going to feel an urge to react. I'm going to ask you not to because it's getting old. It's getting repetitive, right?
The better no be.
Turn his mic off. No, I'm bored of it. Somebody actually messaged me to say they're bored of you moaning about this.
I don't care. They're ridiculous.
So let's meet Sean and Jim.
Ah, there he goes.
We're going to play tonight's Beat the Pundit. How's it going, gentlemen?
I'm all right, how he is.
Good. Have either of you played before?
None.
Right, okay. Who would you rather take on?
Gordon Diel.
Yeah, I think that makes
sense. Listen, hold on a minute. What do you do? Phone Jim and go, Jim, come round to the house. I'm going to phone in Radio Clyde for Beat the Pundit. Hurry up, Jazza. Get round here. What are you two all about?
Well, Jim's my dad.
All right, okay, well, maybe you didn't. Okay, you didn't phone Jim then.
None of your paint on Becky at all, any chance, are you? Never mind, that's a private joke from earlier in the show if you weren't listening. Right, so let's toss the coin for Sean and Jim. One of you will play.
Exactly.
I was trying to get the arithmetic round the right way. The blue side of the coin is for Brian Graham, the red side of the coin signifies Gordon Diel.
Yeah.
And it's blue for Brian.
go on, Jim. And Sean. And probably whoever else is there.
Half a Clyde Banks in there.
Yeah, we shuggle been there.
Down the canal, got a crowd of them.
Exactly.
Right, let's get ready. We'll give Brian something else to listen to. Sean and Jim, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? Right, your 30 seconds goes on the clock and your time starts now. Who played more seasons at Celtic, Ramon Vega or Rudy Vata?
Rudy Vata.
Which club connects Scott Allen, Cammy Bell and Tony Watt?
Pass.
Which Scotland manager beat France away in 2007?
Pass.
Unibet are the shirt sponsors of which Scottish Premiership team?
Rangers.
Where would you find the Jeff Brown stand?
Dundee.
Which Hearts player scored the most league goals this season?
Braga.
Okay, let's bring him back. Brian Graham, are you ready?
Yep.
Right, your 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Who played more seasons at Celtic, Ramon Vega or Rudy Vata?
Rudy Vata.
Which club connects Scott Allen, Cammy Bell and Tony Watt?
Dundee United.
Which Scotland manager beat France away in 2007?
Alex McLeish.
Unibet are the shirt sponsors of which Scottish Premiership team?
Pass.
Where would you find the Jeff Brown stand?
Come on, look.
Which Hearts player has scored the most league goals this season?
Claudio Braga.
Johnny Russell played for which English club?
Derby County.
How many major trophies have Hibs won this century?
Two.
Okay.
Sean
and Jim, what's the verdict?
I think Brian's got me.
Let's find it. You sounded confident there. And you're looking, you're not winless on Beat the Pundit.
I've only played once this season.
Alright, oh, that's fine then. I thought.
Yeah, did you win?
No.
So you're a winless.
Not,
not, but you've won the night.
Not quite as a. Are you sure?
Aye, they two are homeless.
You didn't hear them.
Yeah, I did. Well, I was listening.
Who played more seasons at Celtic, Ramon Vega or Rudy Vata? It is Rudy Vata. You both got it. Four permanent seasons for Rudy Vata, one lone season for Ramon Vega. So we are level. Very sneaky this question, because Tony Watt and Cammy Bell and to a lesser extent Scott Allen have all played for loads of clubs, but the one that connects them is Dundee United. So Brian goes 2-1 in front. Alex McLeish was the manager, France away, McFadden 2007. So it's 3-1 to Brian. However, the guys did hit back. Unibet is Rangers shirt sponsor. So it's 3-2. The Jeff Brown stand.
Is it St. Johnston?
You played in front of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And to be honest, my mind just went blank.
Is it St. Johnston?
It is.
Aye. I actually played fully much. Sure.
I know you did. Anyway, McDermott Park, St. Johnston, still 3-2. You both got Claudio Braga, 4-3. You were doing not too bad. One thing Brian Graham's never been praised for is his pace. But he managed to get through more questions. He was faster. I can't believe I'm said that.
I'm rapid. You don't see me.
Johnny
weekend.
Russell played for which English club? It is Derby County. And Hibs have won two major trophies this season. That was a good showing. That's a six. A six.
Take that all day long. Yeah. Unlucky boys.
Unlucky. Yeah. Sean and Jim. Hardlines.
Phone in on Thursday with your relatives as well.
Well done.
Are you both Celtic fans or?
Both Celtic fans. Aye.
What did Sunday do for your league hopes?
I'm not sure. I can see Hearts doing it, but we'll need to see.
Absolutely right, good men. Thank you very much to Sean and Jim, and it's a win on the board for.
I can't believe I've got that St. John's question right. That's shocking.
I can't believe you never even guessed one Premier League team.
My mind went blank for the two questions. That's where the problem was. It happens.
But you passed.
I know. But I gave you the answer last week as well, and you won 2-1. So shut it.
Never give me an answer.
Did you give him one last week?
Looking at my sheet, he won 2-1.
No, I did not. Look at your sheet. I don't start. I'm not taking that. Don't start. I
see what happened there. He tried to jump me there, and I got him back, and he panicked.
No, not at all. Good victory, but good victory. They took.
We need a VAR check on your attempts last week. Interesting that one. He featured in the Beat the Pundit as well. Johnny Russell back at Dundee United. Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of experience now.
Well, they certainly need something, don't they? They need a spark from somewhere. And he knows the club inside out. He's a terrific player for him. Scottish internationalist. Brings a lot of experience. So it'll be interesting to see how he does up there. Big game for him tonight, obviously.
Especially because, for obvious reasons, clubs don't make many signings at this time. with the window closed, not, you know, needs to be, you know, from a certain market or a free agent or whatever. So it's just interesting that you get to March and then Jim Goodwin maybe identifies something that he didn't get or he didn't add in January, or something's sort of changed his mind since then about what he needs. It just feels like quite a sensible signing, doesn't it? Because of that, you know, you don't.
If he's available, he can go and get him. He's got a fantastic left foot. He will be a threat. Be interesting to see if he's involved tonight when the team lines come out. Probably involved against us on Friday night. So I'd like to see how he gets on the night to see where he's at fitness wise.
I think there was obviously a kind of waiting on the red tape and all that sort of stuff, which was going to be quite tricky. Let me double check the team now that it is out. No, he is. He's on the bench, so must have come through in time.
Yep.
You've got a wee 10 minutes in the end, surely.
Yeah. 20 minutes, probably, surely. Probably more than 10 minutes. Salt Lake City's last club, was it?
Any St Mirren fans out there, how are you feeling about this game tonight? Because it's not been a vintage time of it recently. And this is their game in hand, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Dundee United as well. So when you look at that table at the moment, quite critical that you start getting some points on the board. You're already three above Kilmarnock, so if you can win your game in hand and open that up to six, that's, you know, if we're talking six being big at the top, that would be big for you as well. So what are you thinking tonight, St Mirren fans? It would be nice to hear from you. 01419511025, that is the number. Gordon is a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, Gordon?
I'm very good today, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. What made you call?
Yeah. My question is, I used to play junior level at centre half. I'm 6'8 now, long gone, but how can a Rangers defence lose two goals for a header to 5'5" players? I don't understand it. I mean, the first one, I think Raskin's meant to be marking Tierney, and he just walks away from him. And the second one, I think Suter and Fernandez were either side of Maeda, and he just steps three thing with his back and scores a goal.
Gordon, no, you've just answered your own question.
Not that I know. Am I obliged to stick up for small people everywhere? Kieran Tierney's no 5'5", to be fair, right?
No.
But you take the general gist of Gordon's point.
But you know what I mean?
I think Gordon's right. If you look at the goal, the first one with Tierney, Raskin's got to do better. Doesn't matter what size you are, he's got to do better. He gets caught basically, it's lazy defending, he gets caught sort of a ball watching. Tierney just takes a step in front of him and all of a sudden it just needs a quality ball and Raskin is dead. He's out the game. And that's what happened. Tierney, good header, gets back in the game. If you, I do agree with Gordon, if you look at the penalty kick incident, the two centre-halves are at the front post for some reason. There's no balance off the two centre-halves. I don't know why they get attracted, the two of them, especially into that area. And that's why Sterling seen the danger late and he come sprinting in there, and that's why he got it all wrong. Maeda's get the simplest header and obviously the penalty kick comes from it. You've got to say it was poor defending, but if you look at it, flip it over, I thought the ball into Tierney was brilliant. It's a great ball. All he has to do is direct the header and it's in the back of the net.
Nygren's been scoring a lot of goals this year. When the ball's been laid off to him, probably the Rangers players are probably thinking he's going to have a shiv and a shot. And then he picks up a wonderful cross, great header for Tierney, and it's in the back of the net and it was game on. From a Rangers perspective, the second goal, which will be the one with a two centre half, you're 1-2-1. It's the last minute of the game. Just defend your box. Clear your lines. You've been under a lot of pressure. For the two of them to go beyond the front post, it was really bad defending, and then Sterling has to react and he gives a penalty away.
But Rangers have got that just now. I know that when they come in at first, Danny Rowe, his biggest thing was to make sure the defence was a lot better, not conceding the goals and the chances. But I think if you look at their last three games, I think they've conceded a right few goals. You know, Hart scored two against them. Celtic have scored two against them.
Livingston
scored two against them. Motherwell score against them with 10 men. So the one thing, that's why you're not confident with even at 2-0 at half-time at the weekend. Okay, they've dominated the first half and you're thinking, oh, it'll be a case in the second half, they'll come out. The third goal puts it to bed. But
is this just kind of...
they'll always give you chances, Rangers.
They've only conceded one more than Hearts. There's not, I don't think there's much difference there. They've conceded five fewer than Celtic. But is this Is this a kind of recent thing or key moments, well, that sort of thing? Well, I don't think the volume over the season is particularly bad.
When you're talking about the last four games, right? So four games have conceded 7 goals. They've conceded 4 at Ibrox. Okay, you can argue it's against Hearts and Celtic because they've got quality strikers. You go to Livingston, you concede 2. So, and then we talk about it. As much as you give credit to Celtic at the weekend, if you're Rangers and you look at that on a Monday and you're analysing it, mm-hmm, defensively, you're a bit...
It's a good point, isn't it? Because naturally, you spend so long talking about the penalty, as in the award of the penalty, you never actually analyse the defending in that moment, do you? Your eyes are just drawn to... And that's what we do here. We specialise in it. I'm still seeing loads of tweets. We're now arguing about incidents that genuinely nobody would ever care about in any other fixture. You would not even bat an eyelid at them, but we kind of dig it up. But if, I suppose if you're Danny Rule, you need a calmer head than that. You need a more analytical mind. You need to pour over, the specifics of where it went wrong and try and stop it happening again.
Well, I think he'll speak about the first half dominance of Rangers to his players when obviously leading into the Scottish Cup game, and he'll pick out the second half. They'll go over it in the meeting room. And he'll clearly speak up the defending for the second goal, because the two of them do get attracted. It's a fantastic ball in for James Forrest. But as I mentioned earlier, it's the last minute of the game. You're 2-1 up. You've been under severe pressure. Just defend your box. Defend the middle of your goal. Get the ball cleared and you go and win the game 2-1. They don't do it. They get punished. It's a penalty. And Atati at the third attempt goes and equalises. That's the price they had to pay for bad defending at the end of the game.
Gordon, what about overall, when you can look back on it, and what do you take away from it?
Well, I think if Rangers defend like that for the rest of the season, there's no way they're going to win that league. No chance. That was basic defending on Sunday. And for me, I'm a Rangers fan, they'll probably do well up top, but the defensive stuff, they're no good enough. It's as simple as that.
How tough is that to take after the first half?
It was tough, it's like a switch. I don't understand how they've changed to try to sit in and stuff like that. But even then, as I said, for the 2 goals, 5'6" guys, I'm not saying, I don't know what they are.
We've upped Kieran to 95,
he's growing.
I would be devastated if I'd lost a goal with A2. But let's put it that way, I'm going to play junior.
There's different type. You're the aerial man amongst us. Some of it's about where you are in timing, rather than, it's not like,
it doesn't matter.
Tierney
height
doesn't out jump Andy. Tierney, it's could a have head been 5-2 and it wouldn't, it wouldn't make any difference there, would it really?
And it wasn't even as if it was great movement. He just kind of moves half a step. It's bad defending. Raskin's not a centre half, but he finds himself in that position of the pitch, then he's got to defend the box. He doesn't. Tierney gets goal side. It's a simple header for him after a fantastic ball in, and that's where Rangers' Achilles heel was at the weekend. It was the defending on those two. And by the way, there was other chances with Celtic didn't take where they potentially could have. That's why Martindale came out after the game and says we potentially could have won the game, because there was other chances for Celtic. But I just think Rangers were being so dominant in the first half, and then you're not going to say they switched off. You give Celtic a little bit of credit, but at the same time, Rangers had that game in the grasp of their hand at the first half. They should have went out foot to the floor and got the job done. They didn't. Give credit to Celtic, changed a few things, got themselves back in the game.
Thank you very much to Gordon in Airdrie, who doesn't hold out much hope of Rangers winning the league from here. Get your calls in, please. Scotland women are 3-0 up at half-time against Luxembourg in the first of their World Cup qualification matches. So far, so good. Albeit winning that opening doubleheader against Luxembourg is an absolute must. So far, job on its way to being done. It's a good time to call. Why don't you get in touch and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025, so please send your calls over to us, and we've got a nice question for you as well, so let's get that up and running first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you very much to Robert and Irvin for this. I keep saying it, my fascination with the full-time teaser is how immediately after, like, a game or an incident happens, how creative people then get to fit a question around that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Robert Mervyn has come in tonight. Before Yusuf Chirmiti, listen to this. Mm-hmm. Who are the last seven Old Firm scorers whose surname starts with the same letter as the team they scored against? So Rangers players beginning with C and Celtic players beginning with R, ultimately.
Yep, right.
But Robert Mervyn, and I need to know that thought process. It's genius. The last seven old before Chirmiti.
Right.
Who are the last seven Old Firm scorers whose surname starts with the same letter they scored against? So ultimately, scored in the fixture with their name beginning with R if they're a Celtic player, surname beginning with C if they're a...
Oh, we've got to go Rio Hatate, haven't you? I know he scored. No. He scored before. You know,
surname. Surname.
Oh, surname. Sorry, sorry. Sorry, right, okay. I wasn't listening properly. Sorry.
I was panicking there, thinking.
No, sorry, right. That's my fault.
Surname.
Surname. Okay.
You're just gonna keep saying that over and over. And
yeah, because I'm trying to buy
drops.
Time.
I can see that.
R.
That's gonna be a long night.
Raskin. No, can it be?
Can it be?
No.
Can it be? Other way around.
He's gonna know, right? It's confusing me.
Thanks again to our sponsors Arcaplan Glasgow as well, by the way. But Robert Mervyn, what a creative mind. Oh, this is not a good start.
No, it's not this a good start. We'll come back to that.
What's going on? R for Celtic.
So Celtic players who scored against Rangers, their surname begins with R.
Yeah.
There is one in particular that I think jumps out in that category.
Rogic.
Yes, that's the one I was trying to get you to. Okay, goodness. Tom Rogic. We'll get back to it. Could be a long night on that teaser. David's in Uddingston. How are you, David?
Not bad. How are you?
Good. Thank you, David. It's only day two of the fallout, if you like, from Ibrox. So what did you take away from it?
I was absolutely gutted, if I'm being honest with you. So I thought my point I wanted to talk to you about is, oh, just about the fall off. So the first half, I was in the house watching it with my son, and watching the first half, seeing the overhead kick, we were absolutely buzzing. Get into the second half, and it was like a totally different team that came into the second half. Romans, who I thought was tremendous in the first half, I think for the goal, he got caught over on the right hand side. I think he was the guy, the guy that wasn't pressing out to the ball when the ball got passed inside. And I was looking at him and going, why are you not pressing the ball? I can't understand why we just totally went in on ourselves and why we didn't press the first half. Because I feel every time we play Celtic, every time we press them, we usually get something out of the game. But every time we just sit back, they just pick their passes round about us all the time. And I can't understand in that position why we didn't press the ball. The pass coming inside, if he passes it inside.
He also had a big chance at the start of the second half, didn't he, David? Because everyone talks about the two halves being totally different, but there was a couple of minutes at the start of the second half where Rangers might even have put it to bed.
Well, 100%. I don't know what I mean. 2-0, you come out in the second half. If you get that goal, that early goal, the game's more or less done. You've got the fans on your side. Ibrox would have been absolutely bouncing, but they just totally went back in themselves, and it's. I kind of get my head around it as to the two halves of the football that I witnessed at the weekend, especially being at home and having all the fans behind you.
Is Romans just another name though, Gordon, where you could insert any Rangers player there really, and it would be something bad that they did in the second half compared to what they did?
To be fair, I did think he had a brilliant opportunity to put the game to bed at the back post. I think he's got to do a little bit better than that. I know what David's saying, but if you flip it to the last game at Celtic Park, Celtic dominated the first half. Rangers come out, Chirmiti obviously grabbing a few goals. I think you got to give credit to the Martin O'Neill and Celtic. I think he made the changes, and the changes worked, and that's what he was there to do.
But do you then need to, obviously, Rangers, then you need to do something
right? And I think
in response,
and
because
I think what you're talking about pressing, I think at the beginning of the game, Rangers press Celtic very high, stopped them playing that through them. Celtic kicked the ball. I think it was the first caller said it was 17 times in the first half or something. Rangers just ate that up. That was perfect for them. When he took the second striker off, I think that played right into Celtic's hands, because he could play for the back and play out, and all of a sudden that press wasn't there anymore.
Andy,
they got into the middle of the park where Celtic were strong.
Andy was talking about it last night, and his gripe was that the idea of bringing Diomande on to try and get some control in there was obviously the right one.
Yeah.
But they then didn't change the way they played. Mm-hmm. So they Do you know what I mean? They brought Diomande on, but then went long anyway, having taken.
When you've only got one target instead of two targets.
Right. And I think that's why. Listen, I'm not here to tell him how to do it.
That's exactly what you're here for. Yeah, just to
well, okay, I hope he's listening. I think he made a mistake taking look, if he's got to take a striker off, fine. But I would have played, I would have put another striker on and I'd have kept the two up top and hemmed Celtic
or,
in.
No, or you can put the midfielder on but then do something different.
Yeah, but I think you've got to give credit, as much as we give credit to Rangers in the first half, tactically, they were right at Celtic, they played the way they wanted to play and they dominated the game and you give Rangers credit for that. I think you've got to give Celtic a bit of credit in the second half. I thought they were excellent.
But listen, when Diomande does come on, they can still press with a two up front, where if one striker goes there and he goes and drops in the midfielder, it goes switches a play, Diomande then goes out and Chermiti then drops in, and they can still work in that 4-4-2 press what they had in the first half. But they didn't do that. Chermiti was just kind of central, they weren't really pressing high up the pitch, and then the two wide players weren't really coming in to help them either, and they lost control of the game from there.
There was that, and I bet you've done it. You saw that one where Chermiti went and pressed in his own, it got popped round him and he turned round and threw his hands up.
Oh, I'm good at that one.
Where's everybody else?
He does that in training.
David, what talk to me about the bigger picture then. Does the outcome sort of worry you about Rangers title chances?
100%. I definitely be the last four or five games. So I would say before the last four or five games, I would have probably put us to be in pole position to win the league. I think they, especially against Motherwell, that really deflated me. See, being 1-0 up in the last 3 minutes and we conceded a goal. I felt since then, I can just feel the nerves starting to creep in a wee bit. Celtic seem to be scoring these last-minute goals all the time, and ultimately, they 2 points that they're clawing back at the end of the game. I'm just worrying that it's going to come back to bite us at the end of the season. We need to stay concentrated for a whole 90 minutes instead of 45. That's our biggest thing falling now. It's just been unable to do that. But
sorry, but I think it's both sides of the whole firm, David. I think both of them are trying to get that 90 minute performance. They're getting a 45 minutes here, whether it's first half or second half, and then they're dropping off. Both of them are kind of in the same bracket. I know for you want Rangers to be doing it for 90 minutes, but the both of them are the same, and that's why Hearts keep extending that lead.
100%. Hearts are the ones that are gaining out of it. I think Rangers and Celtic, when I look at the table now, we've not got a lot of games to go. So there's not a lot of games to make up any gaps that are going to kind of open up now. So nerves are definitely starting to creep in. And I think you can see it between Rangers and Celtic.
God, Rangers' next league game feels like ages away.
Everything is absolutely massive now. It's just...
Do you expect Celtic to go above you tomorrow? Do you think they win their game in hand, or are you holding out hope that they might not do that?
I expect them to win. That going at the weekend and clawing that back to 2-2, they've got good momentum now. Do you know what I mean? They've got good belief. I expect them to win. It's going to be very, very, very tight, but it's very exciting.
Depends though, because is that how quickly you gain momentum in football? Because they've come off the back of a defeat at Hibs, but I suppose the Stuttgart was...
They went in Europe, got a good win.
And then how did you start the game at Ibrox the way you did, if you've carried momentum in from Europe?
And we spoke about it prior to that, with Kilmarnock getting that free. We spoke about momentum then they go and lose to Hibs. They get a result against Stuttgart. They play very poorly in the first half, and then they get a second half. They get the second win in the second half, and then people can then start talking about momentum again. Momentum's a continuous thing. It's not just one game,
on and off,
drop off. It needs to continually flow over the weeks.
Thank you very much to David in Uddingston. He's got some concerns about the way Rangers went about it in the second half, as I'm sure many of you Rangers fans do. Robert in Irvine, though, he just went straight about setting up this question, and I like it. Before Yusuf Chermiti, can you name the last 7 Old Firm scorers whose surname starts with the same letter as the team they scored against? So quite simply, Celtic goal scorers in the fixture whose surname begins with R, and Rangers goal scorers in the fixture whose surname begins with C. You've only got Tom Rogic so far.
Has Ralston scored?
No.
Barry Robson?
Yes.
That's him.
Well done. 2008 for that one.
We're struggling in the Rangers.
We're struggling, aye, we are.
Are you sure?
What do you mean?
Rangers have got a couple of scorers.
Yes.
Loads. Start with a C.
what more do you want me to say here?
give me a wee more clue. A Campbell,
Claudia Caniggia.
Yes,
Caniggia.
Dundee, ex Dundee.
There you go. Well done. Back in 2003. We'll get the rest of the answers sometime between now and Christmas. But we'll keep plugging away at it. Let's hear from Andy, who's a Rangers fan on the other line. How are you, Andy?
Not bad, guys. I was actually at the game. Just a wee quick shout out to my boy. He's a Celtic man. He got me a ticket. We're birthday on Sunday. So first half I was buzzing. Second half I was totally gutted. I mean, honestly, how I tried going before even the Livy game, tease and say our attitude needs to be for 90 minutes. No, this, I mean, Rangers seem to be playing for 45 minutes, even against Hearts, Livy. You go, what's going on here? What? Why are we doing this? And I was quite surprised they only put on two subs yesterday, Sunday, sorry. I thought he'd have played the full five. Because you can see, like, even Cementi was getting tired. They brought in Miowski, Tav, and even Ant-Man. But I was quite disappointed they only brought on two subs.
Well, it must have been a reason for it. Obviously, I think everybody was looking at Diamandi was the right substitution. I don't think you can criticise the manager for that. Because obviously at that time Celtic had brought on Hatate and McGregor was in there and they were dominating the middle of the park, so he needed to strengthen that up, but it didn't work for him. It was interesting, especially in a game with the pace and everything about it, that he did only use two substitutes because he's got plenty to choose from. He's got a real, real strong bench. But it was just that typical, you know, I think Brian answered the question brilliantly. You're thinking Celtic supporters are looking and going, how does it take to half time for Martin O'Neill to change a couple of players, for instance at Kilmarnock, three players before they go out and play better and win the game? How does it take them 2-0 down to change two players against Rangers and they go out and dominate most of the second half? Rangers are the same. I don't know if these two teams right now have got a full dominant 90 plus minutes in them. I really don't.
I think it's the fact that you go to, because I'm looking at the Rangers subs and I actually feel like the most obvious one who didn't come on is the captain. It's James Tavernier. Yeah. You know, we've sort of glossed over the fact we're getting used to him not starting some big games now. Mm-hmm. You think he usually would come on at some point, but because they're 2-0 up, then 2-1, is that almost an attacking change for Rangers these days where you'd put him on?
Yeah, because Austin Tavernier's had a fantastic career at Rangers. The amount of goals he scored, so that's why you're probably thinking that attacking threat. But Sterling's been a better defender than him of recently. And on the first half, Sterling was absolutely brilliant against Maeda. Mm-hmm. Maeda didn't really get a sniff against him. So I don't really see the point of bringing Tav on. Yeah. I know he's a captain, I know he's a leader, but unless you put him in the middle of the park to try and get his voice and his experience in there to try and close out the game, because Celtic were dominating, but because he can play in there. But the way Sterling was playing, I don't really see the need for bringing Tavernier on.
I thought he'd have brought on Majowski. What is he? Is he he's top goal scorer, isn't he, round about there?
But again, Chimiti obviously did the business in the first half.
I'd have brought Majowski on and still kept my two up top. I go back to this. I think he gave up territory when he went with one. I think Celtic were able to have the 2v1 Murray and Scales at the back, whereas in the first half, Rangers smothered Celtic at the back, made them kick the ball long, and then picked up everything and then went on the attack. So I thought he got that substitution a bit wrong. But listen, only the manager can tell you why he decided to only use two substitutions when he's got a bench there that he's got plenty of options and good players on it.
How do you feel about Rangers' chances now, Andy?
Well, it's kind of dented it a bit, but I've been listening to all the callers all week, and I still think there's still four teams in it. So that really dented us, but I'm not giving up. I'm definitely not giving up and winning it, but it's going to be really hard. Everybody was saying that. I mean, Hearts are just grinding the results, getting the results. So it's going to be really hard, but I'm definitely not giving up. Maybe another helicopter Sunday.
Oh, three-way this time, though.
Helicopters.
a couple of different trophies. Unbelievable. Right, thanks again to Andy. Oh, Mike, I'm really looking forward to putting you through this. If I'm involved in this, you're involved in this.
Oh no, that's just
let's do it.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
I'm looking at this joke joke, he says.
In it's a cracker.
In quotation marks.
Who did that sound like that?
The only worry is that the listeners who want to take part in the competition are supposed to get this at some point.
Oh, I'm worried. Okay, that's no problem.
I'm worried people aren't going to get this. This isn't funny. Anyway, carry on. All this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're celebrating Clyde One's official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. So it's running from the 11th to the 29th of March across the city. Not only are we giving away tickets, but we'll chuck in some food and drink as well. I can see you chuckling away in the corner. Stop that. Tonight is a pair of tickets for Fess Hole Live. That'll be really good, that, actually. Yeah. At the Oran Mór on Monday the 16th of March. Plus two courses and two drinks at the Drake at Woodlands Road as well. So actually really looking forward to that. You would be, you're tailor made for Fess Hole. Do you know what Fess Hole is?
No, I've not got a clue.
So it's like anonymous it's anonymous like confessions on social media. So you just write in and say, like, obviously the most outrageous thing you've ever done, but nobody knows that it's you. That is right up your street.
Oh, and that's my birthday. I could go for my birthday.
Honestly, you should be sponsored by Fess Hole.
Right. I know the joke.
All you have to do to win the tickets and the food and the drinks is give us the punchline to this joke that Gordon DL is going to deliver. Don't give us the punchline.
I'm not giving you the punchline. Here you go. Why do football players do well in school?
Oh, my skin's crawling already.
So, I'll read it again. Why do football players do well in school?
Call 01419511025 with the correct punchline. You could be off to Fess Hole Live at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, over 18s only, and you have until the end of this break.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to talk football, but let's do this first.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
By the way, see that old phrase about you'd get a piece at MD's door?
Yeah.
I've received correspondence from Michael, who is involved heavily in the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. And he's said that you will, if you fancy it, he will sort you out with tickets to Fess Hole and dinner for your birthday at the Comedy Festival.
Very, very kind of him.
So he says all he needs is your email address. Do you want to just tell us what it is just now?
No.
Just read out your email address.
It's quite simple.
Imagine how many things you'd get signed up to if you read your email address on this. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to this because we are going to give away some tickets right now. We've got tickets to give away for Fess Hole Live and the two course and two drinks at the Drake. Monday the 16th of March, Gordon's birthday. All you had to do was give us the punchline to Gordon DL's joke that he came up with himself.
Yeah. Why do football players do well in school?
And we've got Lennon and Kilsyth on the line. What's the punchline, Lennon?
It's because they use their heads.
Yes, Lennon. There you go. I'll be chuckling all over the west of Scotland.
Unbelievable
tonight.
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Well done to you, Lennon. You're off to Fess Hole Live at Oran Mór on Gordon DL's birthday. You'll see him there and you're getting dinner and drinks at the Drake as well. That sound good?
Oh, that's brilliant, that.
Good, good, man.
See you the Drake, Lennon.
Oh, I'll see you there.
Couple of freebies. Unbelievable.
Remember, it's my birthday.
I know, he's the only guy that will get the free drinks and then he'll tell everybody in the place it's his birthday to try and get more.
I think the Drake will give me a cake.
Do you want to bring a candle out in the cake and sing happy birthday?
Oh, you've got to, mate.
Aye. Anyway, thanks very much to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival for all the prizes. More to give away tomorrow's show from 6. And remember, check out GlasgowComedyFestival.com for all the shows and information. You're not all going to be lucky enough to win it on here, so check it out and see what is going on. Let's check in on the very... In fact, no, let's do the teaser first because you've got serious work to do. Robert Nirvan asked you to name, before Chirmiti, 7 Old Firm scorers whose surname begins with the same letter as the team they scored against. So Rogic, Rangers; Robson, Rangers; Caniggia, Celtic;
Cherny. Right.
Cherny.
Yeah.
Hit the post, never scored.
Did they not? No. Cantwell.
Yes, Todd Cantwell, well done.
And I've got a Celtic one. Patrick Roberts?
Nope. Ooh. Missed a sitter in one, didn't he? Was that that game?
See you, Keevans.
Did he text you that?
He's the worst I've ever heard.
He's telling me in the break I've got a few.
Shuggy text me.
I'm not being funny. If I was to compile a list of people I would not listen to on this subject.
He's got to get that right.
He's fired up the Nokia.
He has.
He's punched in the letters. Takes ages.
Exactly.
one by one.
100% he put as well.
Unbelievable.
Thumbs up, everything.
Nah, he can't do it. Can't
do a thumbs up on the Nokia.
Oh my goodness. So he's not one of, obviously, no. Right?
He missed a sitter in one of the games, didn't he? Remember that, Hamden?
Oh, so he did. So he did. I'm struggling now. Many of us still to get?
Three.
Yep.
Mm.
Two Rangers, one Celtic. By the way, they are... One of them in particular, I don't see you two getting.
Oh, the under when they brought in the... Who was it?
Where are you going with this?
I'm going with the outside right that played with Rangers.
Oh, right, so it's 1964,
no,
is
no,
it?
No. It was Candelis.
Who texts you that one?
Nobody texts me
yes,
that one.
Yes, they did. I'll tell you why. You're doing that thing where you're pretending that he's
calling.
He doesn't know how to say is it Candelis?
I honestly don't know how to say his name, but I can remember it. Outside right, wee winger.
Yeah, sure. Well done, Daniel Candelis. Whoever texted him that, well
no,
done.
No, I wasn't a shug, that's for sure.
Okay. Let's go. I did say we were going to check in. I don't think we've got any early goals in that game to tell you about. I will just double check. Who'd you fancy for that one tonight? Dundee United, St Mirren. The pitch is dreadful. I don't think either necessarily like pass it about loads, but still, you don't want to have to deal with it either way. You'd still like the option. I think Amar Fata's put a ball in the box there. Nothing happening. A couple of long throws. Ross Graham.
I'm going to stick with a draw, Gordon. I can't separate the two. I think the two of them are in real poor form.
Not again. Was it not last midweek? Dundee United nil Aberdeen.
Yeah, I called that as well. So I'm going to stick with the draw tonight. I don't think it'll be an exciting game. I really don't.
Well, in fact, you were hoping for the draw last week.
I was. Got what I wished for. So obviously, but we had to go and follow up with a victory against Kilmarnock, which we managed to do. And as I said to Ellen in the school, we just need to. He keeps saying your top six is done and dusty.
It's done.
Until it's mathematically done, it's never done. So you don't know your manager. We are not done until it's
manager,
over the line. We'll keep going.
I'm seeing his messages on your phone.
No, you're reading that, watching it flashes up last
exactly.
week. That's what it was.
And John's listening to the show. John, it's done. Enjoy your top six.
Get the party booked.
Oh, exactly.
What's the top six bonus?
Oh, don't
say that's not for this show. It's all right. It's not very good. We want more for the listening.
Jamie Swinney will be on the phone right
I'll
now.
I'll be winding him up.
Pulling me up right. Yeah, still goalless in that one. About 5 minutes gone there at Tannadice. Nothing to tell you about really so far. Anything else that's doing the rounds? We always try and finish the show. We're just giving a wee nod to anything else that we haven't got round to mentioning. I don't actually think there is. I think we've done quite well. Oh, the Championship tonight though.
Big game at East End Park. And it's amazing. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Ross County, what a terrible season they've had. Dunfermline, Neil Lennon in the playoffs and out position and fourth. If Ross County win that game tonight, they go 4 points back.
I know, it's always so bunched up,
it's
isn't
incredible.
It? Incredible. Arbroath Air is the other one.
Arbroath Air, yeah. A big game for Scott Brown as well, because he's not having a good run just now. That's
well, Dunfermline and Air are levelling points, aren't they?
That's not the place you want to go.
Trying to get that final playoff spot.
Yeah, you don't want to go there in July. Never mind go there midweek in March up to Arbroath.
To be fair, Arbroath got a good result at the weekend against Thistle. Probably disappointed they didn't go and win that one at home. They've had a fantastic record at home all season. But you've got to give Arbroath credit as well. They're sitting up there third in the league, part-time team. Done exceptionally well, and it's the rest of them are trying to finish that fourth spot. But as you said, like Ross County were bottom of the league. They go and win tonight. Then they go to Arbroath on Saturday. They win those two games, they could potentially be in the playoff spot. That's how crazy the Championship is, and it's... I've said it for many a years, it's the best league in Scotland. Maybe not so much this year because we're getting so much excitement at the top end of the league in the Premiership, but years gone by, the excitement has always been in the Championship.
I thought you were going to say, because I'm not in it anymore.
Oh, come
you,
on, Gordon.
You were Mr. Championship for a few seasons, now you've ditched it, left it behind, couldn't care less.
Right. He's a top six man.
Still goalless.
Big bonus in the pocket.
Still goalless in that game. Let's finish that teaser. So we're looking for, before Chirmiti, the last seven Old Firm scorers whose surname begins with the same letter as the team they scored against. So the Rangers players are Cantwell, Candeas, Kanija. The Celtic ones are Robson, Rogic, two to get.
I'm struggling.
Nah, so am I.
If you're looking for your somebody that's definitely in both of your contact books, Mr. Mark Wilson, there's a cardboard cut out of him in the corner. He would get this one.
So you must have played with him,
or it keeps him awake at night still.
Oh, what do you call them? Oh my God, he ragdolled them all over the place.
Did. And it begins with C.
Kuzan.
Daniel Kuzan. The other one is really tricky. It's a 3-2 Rangers win at Ibrox, 25th of March 2012. But this central defender scored for Celtic. He's Norwegian, wasn't really there long.
Oh, I was going to say, he's Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
Bald head?
No, the opposite. No. Quite a barnet on him.
I'm gone, I've lost.
Thomas Runya.
Nah, when I got it.
Nah.
Okay. Never mind. Still goalless at Tannadice. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And then tomorrow, a big one at Pittodrie. Looking forward to it. We'll see you at 6. Enjoy the rest of your evening.